So my dear brothers and sisters,
true beauty in the eyes of the Rabb, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is when we have the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our existence. Now there are different levels to it. The tragedy today is that our relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has become very, very superficial. If even that exists, very superficial. Even the best of us take it as something extra. Okay, you do this, well, this is only a sunnah. And we talk about it that this is not something that is core to our deen. Oh, that's just a sunnah, brother. We really need to understand that relationship with the Rasulullah should not be on that basis. Because it is a sign of an ailing heart when the heart starts not to feel attracted to something that Allah Ta'ala says is beautiful. Uswa hasana, the most beautiful existence, the most beautiful example. Just like in dunya, let's say if you become sick, if you have some physical ailment, and in that state, if somebody brings to you the best food that you love, your biryanis, and if they bring it to you, and they say, why don't you eat this? You will say, you know what? I don't feel like eating it. I don't feel like looking at it. I don't even feel like taking a whiff. And somebody will say, well, you used to love this food. This is your favorite food. Why don't you eat it? And then they'll be explained to him, well, because there is this virus inside, there's that bacteria inside that has affected the proper working of such a person. And now you can try as much as you can, this person will not feel that attraction towards the thing that he loved the most. Exactly like that, the natural fitrah, the natural state of a person is to feel attracted to the way that is beautiful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the natural fitrah of a person. However, sometimes, because we don't guard our hearts, we let all of this garbage inside our hearts, through our eyes, through our gazes, not controlling our gaze, not controlling our ears, not controlling our tongue, not controlling what goes inside of us, and the heart gets affected by it. It starts to become hardened, right? It starts to become rusted. And when that state is there, now you can tell all about the way of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So rather than jumping to it, you know what? You tell me what he did and how he did it, and I want to do it. Rather than that, now you have to convince people, brother, please look at the scientific miracles. Brother, look at how much benefit there is in this. And you have to convince people now, because the heart is not there. So this kind of superficial ta'alluq with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exists today. Like if I ask you, do we love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Everybody will raise their hand. But when it comes to how much do we want to do his ata'at, how much do we want to do his ittiba, how much do we want to follow in his footsteps, that just doesn't exist anymore. Even the best of us, the most learned people, they are looking for ruqsa. They're looking for ways out. Rather than becoming exceptional Muslims, we have become Muslims of exception. You know, just tell me, is there a way that I don't have to follow this? And it's very ajeeb. It's a very sad state to be in today. It's a very sad state to be in. And so if you look at the Quran, some of the ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to engage with the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is first is this concept that we understand as ata'at. Ata'at basically means, my dear brothers and sisters, it's a more legalistic framework. So for example, you take an authority over you and you accept the do's and don'ts of that authority. So whatever Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is haram or halal, we take it as such. Now this is like the basic, very weak kind of connection that everybody should at least have. Ata'at. So anytime anything we know to be haram, there's no way we can make it halal. There's no way we can go around it if Rasulullah said it is haram. Right? But we find ourselves in a state that contemporary Muslims, they are looking for even leniency, even in this kind of connection. That they will try to work out ways, you know, to make interest halal, and make other things halal. And so it means that even this kind of connection with Rasulullah has become so weak for us. When a person has that ata'at of Prophet, which tantamount to the ata'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a higher state is to do ittiba, which is to follow in somebody's footsteps. This is why the word tabi' in Arabic basically means like a calf running after the cow, right? Because it follows in the footstep of its mother. You don't have to tell it, this is very innate thing within that calf. So exactly like that, when you love somebody, ittiba comes natural to you. And so the ittiba means that your mannerisms, your etiquettes, your zahir, your apparent self, and on a higher level, our batin, our inner self becomes like that of Rasulullah. What did he wear? How did he walk? How did he speak? How did he interact? What were his likes? What were his dislikes? Right? Things like that, because of muhabba, you want to act upon that. So you're not just limiting yourself to just the legalistic halal and haram. Now you're on a higher plane of existence. And ittiba is not only physical. That is the lowest level of ittiba. You know, that we grow out a beard, we wear an imama and a jubba and all of that. That is a very simple kind of ittiba that actually saves us money, because now you're not shaving your beard and you're saving on that. Right? So that is something that everybody can easily do. But the real ittiba is that you look at the metaphysical existence of the Prophet ﷺ. You look at the condition of the heart and you try to imitate it. For example, when we look at his heart, we see that it was free from shahwat and nafsani, lusting after the dunya, lusting after wealth, lusting after beauty. But when we look inside ourselves, we find that all we can think about is dunya. All that we do is shahwat towards beauty, towards jamal, and shahwat towards mal. This person has this kind of house, I need a bigger house. He's driving this car, I need a better car. So we have shahwat, it means the ittaba of the heart in terms of shahwat doesn't exist. We look at the ghaid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the ghussa, the anger, the wrath, because he's a human being. And we find that he has a beautiful way of expressing it. Never does he resort to any kind of verbal abuse, psychological abuse, any physical abuse of any kind. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that I was with the Prophet for 10 years of my life, and in 10 years not even did he change his tone with me, let alone resort to any kind of violence. But when we look at our existence today, the expression of our wrath and our anger, people say, you know, don't mess with me. I'm a very angry person. We take it as a positive thing. Look at me. And those closest to me, they are seeking refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from us. Our own wives, our own children, our own parents sometimes. The way we behave to them, it means that the ittiba in terms of ghayb doesn't exist. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had tama, but tama of akhirah. That he seeked out akhirah. We have tama and we have hirs of this dunya. We have hasad towards each other. They had tanafus, meaning they would compete with each other, the Sahaba Karam, in terms of akhirah. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala who did this, I need to do more. So in akhirah, in terms of akhirah, they are competing with each other. And we cannot get tired of competing with each other in terms of dunya. My son went to Harvard, you know, now I have to come, you know, make sure my daughter goes to Oxford. So they are competing in terms of dunya. It means that our tama is not the yearning of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We find that the heart of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was free from kina, from ghil, from shahad. Prophet sallallahu alaihi said that before I go to sleep, my heart is pure from any kind of negativity, animosity, any kind of malice towards any human being. But look at us, Allah. There is so much negativity in terms of even brothers and sisters, those close to us, the way that we feel about them. Because again, we don't take care of the heart. It means that that aspect of our inner spirituality, we are not doing it about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most of all, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a person who has so much idz and inkisari, and you know, he was very much a humble person in his existence. Even during the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, usually you have conquerors walking in with their heads high, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his head was so lowered that it was touching the hump of the camel. and he's doing istighfar and he's doing tasbih and tahleel. This was his humbleness in his existence, because he knew that all of ghayb comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But even in our existence, we have grown so narcissistic in our existence, and you know, I would blame a lot on this social media and phones and all of that, that it's all about me, myself, and I couldn't. It's all about me. Just like Pharaoh said, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la," that's exactly what we say today. Not with our words, but with our actions. All we care about is us, us, us. And really living a life in which there is self-sacrifice, living a service-oriented life like Rasulullah and the Sahaba, it doesn't exist today. It doesn't exist today. That humbleness, we have become people who are mutakabbir. We have ujab and vanity. We are suffering from self-love, and that self-love leads to arrogance and pride, where you start to look down upon others. Well, look at me, you know, I'm better than him. I come to the masjid 5 times and maybe he only comes 4 times. I'm better. And I do this mazikr, this person doesn't do anything. So we start to use our deen to look down upon others around us, and we start to become people who are mutakabbir, people who are proud and arrogant like Shaitan himself. So it is very important that we engage in the ittiba, the following of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on this level as well. That it's not just okay that I have grown a beard, but I need to have the ikhlaq of Rasulullah, the mannerism, the etiquette, the beauty, the ihsan that Prophet ﷺ brought in this world. The sila rahmi, the forbearance. Right? That how do I treat people around me? Do I leave an everlasting mark on their hearts because of the way that I treated them? Or is it that they look at me and they're like, "Allahu Akbar, I just want to stay away from this person"? So these things we really need to look at. I mean, this is not, because this has a direct impact on our akhirah. It has a direct impact on our akhirah. Just like in dunya, you know, I come from like IT and management world, and you know, we have quality assurance, QA aspect of things, where you test different software and hardware and whatnot. And every factory is based on that. You know, you create a product and then you do a quality assurance, making sure that it is as close to the original, whatever the concept is, as possible. It's exactly like that. On the Day of Judgment, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will compare each and every aspect of our existence with that of Rasulullah. So either we'll get a check mark, well, did this person see the way that Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to see? No, that's a cross. Did he used to speak the way Prophet ﷺ used to speak? No, that's a cross. He's lying, he's backbiting, he's gossiping, that's a cross. His ears, did he use to listen to these things? That's a cross. His mind, was he overwhelmed by thinking negative and bad thoughts and filthy thoughts all the time? That's a cross. Did his heart yearn for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the pious people and righteous actions? If not, that's a cross. Was his nafs a nafs mutma'inna, who was at peace and really in a state of itminan and in a state of contentment with the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If not, that's a cross. So a person will be totally crossed out and they will be discarded into this place that we call hellfire. So it's very important that we take this ittiba very seriously in our mind. It means that sometimes we have to do this self-negation. It means that whatever the self-image that we have about ourselves, you look at ourselves in the mirror and you know, subhanAllah, this is me. And you know, we have to negate that me and reconstruct ourselves in the image of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what following of the sunnah, my dear brothers and sisters, this is what it means. Very basically, it's deconstruction of self in whatever isms that we follow, in whatever mentalities and frameworks we have developed in our mind, is to deconstruct that. And to really, from the beginning, reconstruct ourselves in the way of Rasulullah. That's basically what it is. And those people who engage with Prophet in that way, in that kind of ittiba, then there is that higher level of uswa that a person is able to achieve. Now you gain the very subtle nuances of Prophet in your day. It's the way that you think start to morph as well. You start to come to the same conclusions because now your inner spiritual faculties are in line with that of how the prophetic and divine way is. So you gain those nuances as well. little things, little behaviors. Little behaviors. Because now you're overwhelmed, you have emptied yourself from dunya and whatever is in the dunya, and you have metaphorically filled yourself with the divine now. So everything about you changes. This is Adai Nabwi. And you know, the Sahaba Karam used to have this. That's why a lot of times the companions, people were unable to tell them apart from Rasulullah. They couldn't tell the difference. Because they had such complete and utter sami'na wa ata'na, complete ata'at and ittiba of Prophet ﷺ, that they couldn't tell the difference. And they had to ask, okay, which amongst you is the Rasul ﷺ? Which amongst you is Muhammad ﷺ? That was the kamil nisbat that they had. So that is very much achievable today as well. All we need to do is just to kind of do like a paradigm shift of what is important. What our priorities in life is. Because imagine on the Day of Judgment, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us, you know, that you were living in a time where everybody has this brand and self-brand and, you know, following a specific fashion and following a specific way. Allah ta'ala, what if He asks us that I sent you, but the brand that I gave for you was the way of Rasulullah. So how much did you practice it yourself? And how much did you take that beautiful example to others? What will we say? Allah, I was too busy with just the way that what I was doing, and I had this own my own sense of, you know, what I need to be and my likes and my dislikes, and it won't stand that. That is why Prophet himself mentioned in a hadith that a time will come that when a person even takes upon himself to follow one of his way, one of his sunnahs, it is that he will, you know, he'll get the thawab, the reward of 100 martyrs. This is how, and you know, I would argue, maybe I'm wrong, but I would argue this is the time now. When a lot of times it is looked down upon, even from people from within our own community, if somebody takes it upon themselves to really follow in the way of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people will start to make fun of him. They do it all the time. Oh, look at this person, he became a Maulvi, he became this, he became that. This is when Prophet ﷺ said, the following the sunnah is like putting a burning coal on your hand. Fine, we'll put a burning coal on our hand. But we will never validate our duty, our loyalty towards him. Because who really, my dear brothers and my dear sisters? I mean, who was one 1400 years ago? It's narrated in Sahih Hadith that Prophet ﷺ used to spend nights and days crying for his ummah. Nobody does that. Even our own parents won't do it. Even when children pass away, the parents will remember them for what, like 1 year, 2 years? You tell me of a father and you tell me of a mother who was crying for their own children for 23 years. Because this is what Rasulullah did for us. For 23 years of his life, he's crying and weeping. And he was the one who was getting the brunt of it. People spat on his face, people threw dirt on him. They're putting like, you know, the filth on his back, and they're pelting him, they're stoning him, he's bleeding till his sandals, their sandals get stuck to his feet, beautiful feet. But still, because his concept is, you know, my ummah has to be saved. My ummah has to be saved. So we really need to reassess our loyalties. He cried for us for 23 years, and it is inshallah because of his shafa'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us Jannah as well. But you know, it's, you know, there's a narration that I was reading, subhanallah, that on the Day of Judgment, the Hawz of Kawthar, there will be people standing in lines when the angels will come, and some of them will be taken away, literally like camels are taken away. They'll be taken away. And then, you know, they'll be asked, well, who are these people who are being taken away from this line to meet their beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And the angels replied that these were the people who took the sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam very lightly. That there was no mamathilat, there was no mimicking, there was no imitation in their way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't even look like him. So they are being taken away from this line. And it is said in this narration that Prophet ﷺ himself will turn his face away from them. I mean, imagine, subhanAllah, Allahu Akbar. We can do whatever we want in this life. But imagine in that moment where you have so much hope and you're just full of yearning and you look at his beautiful face from afar and you are full of anticipation. Imagine somebody comes and said, you know what? You didn't act the way that you should have acted. You took your own wishes, your own whims, your own desires. They were important to you. What people thought of you was important to you, but what Allah and His Rasul thought about you was not important to you. So what are you even doing in this line? That such a person will be removed completely. So my dear brothers, inshallah ta'ala, this is the month of Rabiul Awwal. You know, Rabi basically, you know, it's springtime. When we are going through this, the first time of spring, it should really inculcate within ourselves or bloom within ourselves or reinvigorate within ourselves that kamil, that complete muhabbat and love for our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah ta'ala, we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to become those people that have that kind of ataat, that have that kind of ittiba, that become those people, subhanallah, who are on the prophetic way in their physical existence as well as in their spiritual selves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us through his existence. And this is what we do in Rabiul Awwal, my dear brothers. You know, some people have, and I'll just briefly touch on this, some people have this whole thing about birthdays, and Muslims don't celebrate birthdays, we all know this. But what we do is we celebrate lives. We celebrate lives. And what we do in every month, and what we also do in this month of Rabiul Awwal, is that we celebrate the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by recommitting ourselves to him. Right? By recommitting ourselves to him. So this is basically what these gatherings are all about. It's not just it will only be limited to this week or next week or just this month. No. Inshallah ta'ala, our whole life is to talk about different aspects of the seerah, inshallah ta'ala. And that is what we do. That is why I'm here today, inshallah ta'ala. That is why we have the women's program tonight as well. So inshallah, both the men and the women, you know, we can reassess ourselves. It's called muhasibah. And recommit ourselves to our goals, inshallah ta'ala. That is really why we are here. To remit, to recommit. Alhamdulillah, we're people who have faith, who have iman. But sometimes it just goes in the background. It is really to bring forth what is important in life. That is why, alhamdulillah, we hold these gatherings, and you know, I'm thankful for this masjid as well, and to this community that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us to come, and inshallah ta'ala has put this muhabbat in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in this muhabbat for each other. May Allah ta'ala make us like the muhajireen and the ansar, the muhabbat that they have for each other. May Allah ta'ala bless us, give us some space in the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbul Alameen. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.